Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, today, Squirrel, we're going to be ranking the top 5 big man action movies of all time.
It's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. Facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back after a 2-week hiatus. I understand that we have been sorely missed. And to any new listeners, or rankers as we like to call you, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi.
Why don't you tell these hordes of new listeners what it is we do here and why we do it?
Well, this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything, Hurst. We provide a valuable internet service whereby our Patreons suggest topics for us to rank. And we choose one at random and we goddamn rank it. And it becomes the official world ranking for that subject. If there's ever an argument, we'll be able to tell them.
Absolutely. But we can't get straight to it.
Oh, no.
Why would we do that? We're too British for that kind of nonsense.
Far too British.
What's the weather been like?
The weather has been hot as balls, considering it is... what is the day? May. It's just... I don't remember the last time it rained, and I've just had new grass laid in my garden as, peek behind the curtain, rankers, Hurst saw a few days ago.
I did see it.
And you've got to water that shit constantly. It's going to cost me a fortune.
It did look lush, though. You've obviously been doing a good job watering it.
Well, yeah, except we didn't put the sprinklers back, so actually we haven't watered it for 2 days. But it's been really sunny, and it hasn't rained.
Which actually, for my plants, has been fantastic news, because I water them every day. They're pot plants. They need it. They're pretty thirsty. I've redone my hanging baskets at the front as well, so they're looking lovely. They require daily watering, which on the face of things sounds like a bore ache. But to be honest, once you're doing it, it's fine. It's nice being around the plants. Plus, because of the sun, they grow at a fantastic rate. So, yeah, beautiful weather. It's been absolutely full of delight.
Excellent.
What's been going on?
Well, what's been going on, Hurst, is the reason that you know that I've got new turf in my garden, because you're at my house to watch the Eurovision Song Contest, when other countries have a go at ranking and often get it spectacularly wrong, to be quite honest. Yeah. What are they doing? UK, what are you doing? Probably won't get into that.
let's not go too political, but Eurovision was as camp and rubbish as always, thus making it tremendous.
Yes, indeed.
And it was a good show, and we don't talk about it too much on here, but Squirrel is a tremendous chef. I shouldn't use the word tremendous, it's a very Trumpy word here, but he is. He's a jolly fine chef.
I'm a Trumpy chef.
Yes, he's a Trumpy chef. He's a jolly fine chef, and then he banged out some absolutely cracking wings, like 5 different varieties of chicken wings.
Yes, indeed, there were a lot.
Beautiful chili, homemade guacamole, a tin of what I thought was custard, but it was actually nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese, that was my favorite purchase from Costco. That's a single tin, which is this bigger than my head, and I was so happy to be able to buy it. I've been looking at it for years.
Well, it was a worthwhile purchase, although when it was all congealed the next morning and I was hungover, it suddenly took a turn for the dark.
Oh, you didn't want any?
No, I steer clear of that. Also, when I first saw it, I thought it was custard. I'm pretty glad I didn't put it on my apple crumble. That would have been bad.
It would have been bad. Also, I want to know where you got apple crumble.
Had I had apple crumble or other desserts were available.
Someone bought profiteroles.
Yes. Right?
Someone whose country was France bought profiteroles. And people were just taking profiteroles with their hands and eating.
Yeah, I would have done if I'd seen the profiteroles. I would have definitely gone hands in on those.
That was later on into the night.
But I did not. It was a lovely weekend, so thank you for your horse brutality.
You're very welcome to my horse brutality. What's gripping your shit, though, Hurst?
Well, I still haven't moved house.
What? But people commented, lock in Jordan.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jordan did not lock in. Instead, he went on holiday.
Oh.
he did quite the opposite of locking in. He shut himself right out.
It is the opposite of locking in.
Things moved along anyway because I was on the ball. Everyone is now agreed that we move this Friday. Still waiting to exchange, but all parties are ready to go and all parties have said, yep, Friday is the day. So recording next week is going to be a challenge, but I'll find a way because one of the things we learned this weekend is that the rankers genuinely miss us when we're not there. We love you.
It's ridiculous. Our shitty little podcast that everyone's like, when are you doing another one? Oh, I need some stuff ranked. It's very human to want the stuff in order. And we're the only people that can do that officially, Hurst.
Indeed. What's been gripping your shit, though?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, Hurst. It was involved in gripping my shit. And let me just, you'll understand. I was at work. I got out of my truck and I failed completely to grip my shit. I don't know what I did with my hand, but I just flung the keys to my truck and they went down a fucking drain, Hurst.
Oh, no.
On the side of the road. I just watched them. I'm like, oh, they're going down that drain. And there they went. And I'm just...
Oh. That's just sitcom come to life.
Properly. That doesn't happen in real life, right? So I thought, you know, I'm not a little dude. Maybe I can lift the drain cover off and reach them because I could see them, the drain, because it hasn't been raining. There was no water. It was just leaves and shit. And I'm like, I could reach them if I could get the drain cover off. The back wheels of my truck were on the drain, Hurst, and even I'm not that strong.
No. Did you have a coat hanger?
Well, that's the thing, right? In the trucks, we have a hook so we can reach boxes that are perhaps toward the back without bending down and shit. Unfortunately, the truck was locked. The keys are in a drain.
It just gets worse and worse.
It does. So fortunately, the people who lived there by the drain, they came out and had all sorts of shenanigans that we tried. We had a magnet on a rope.
Nice.
We had all sorts of, basically, people started to gather around. Someone brought out like a Black and Decker work lamp. We set that up so we could see into the drain. And then eventually, yeah, as you suggested, someone was like, what about coat hanger? And that was the winner after about 40 minutes. And everyone clapped. It was very British. Yay.
Fantastic.
And we got the keys out. So,
what a beautiful story. So, I mean, might have been, you know, sounding your butt crack to start with, but by the end, it was a beautiful story. And it was
a community effort to get this idiot's keys out of the fucking drain. So, yes, I failed spectacularly. I need to work on gripping my shit a little harder.
Indeed. Oh, good one.
Yep.
So should we go back to you asking me what's been going on?
Oh, yeah. What about you, Hurst? What's been going on? I thought we all got what's been going on was the same as mine. What's been going on? I apologise.
As a 46-year-old man, it's important that I still have conversations around toilet humour. And it turned out that in a conversation with some very good friends of mine, Michael and Rachel, you remember best man Michael from the wedding?
Yes, I do.
We see them a lot. We had a conversation with them as it transpired because, you know, nothing is taboo. It's one of those friendships where anything could be talked about. So we get to the real issues of the day, like, do you stand or do you sit when wiping after doing number two? So it turns out there are two very distinct categories of wiper, standers and sitters, and both will defend their position to the hilt. But further to that, there are two other types of people. So ultimately, there are
folders
four,
and scrunchers, right?
Yeah, folders and scrunchers. So there are now actually four types of toilet wiper. There are folder standers, folder sitters, scruncher standers and scruncher sitters. I find that fascinating that there is no handbook, there is no taught way, this is how you do it. I guess it's just generational. It's quite possible that my great-grandfather was a sitter folder and that just got passed through the generations. So I'm intrigued to know from our rankers which of the four quadrants they fit into. See if we can get a consensus. Is there a majority? Is there like a 70% are sitters? Is there a 38% maybe are standard scrunchers? Where do you stand or sit on this matter?
Is this BBC Three Counties Radio Breakfast in the early 90s? Call in, let us know. Fucking this weird thing. Oh, my Christ. What is happening? I was wondering what the rankers are going to be allowed to complain about this week.
Yeah, well, there you go. Glad I've given them something.
Squirrel here. Hearst thought it would be hilarious to eat on microphone again, so to save your sanity, Rankers, and mine, I've replaced every single instance of him eating with a Mel C song.
Oh, you fucking twat. In terms of what's making me feel old, well, besides the fact that you just said we're 46 and reminded me that we're 46, thanks for that. Nothing really. My back hurts. Who cares? Standard. What about you, Hurst?
Well, your child is making me feel old. More importantly, yes. Your child and all of his friends who were at the Eurovision party being like 17 or 18 or whatever they are.
Yes.
And being really tall and young and looking like children to me, but that's just what 17-year-olds look like.
Yes.
That was like a cold shower.
There you go. Well, I will keep him away from the public for a while, if that will help.
No, he's a nice kid. I actually like Sam.
Do you want him?
Yeah.
He's yours.
I'll take him off your hands.
Excellent. Let me know your new address and I'll post him up.
Yeah, nice one. Anyway, so what happened on the last episode? Nice catch up on how things went.
On the last episode, we were ranking snacks to have with beer. Hooray!
Correct, we were.
Votes are in, Hurst. A new record has been set, Hurst.
Is this a record gap, a record number of votes, or...
I can't remember if it's a record number of votes. I don't think so. Let's have some of the comments. Let's start with some random ones. Got a couple of lock-in Jordans. Thank you very much for encouraging Hearst House sale, which, as we know, ultimately didn't happen. One from someone that voted for you, but is talking about me, says, Squirrel has such a dirty laugh. It sometimes makes me a bit wobbly. No name or phone number on that one, so that's a bit sad, but there we are. Thank you very much for that, whoever you are. Davpaz, friend of the show, Davpaz, with two very similar lists. The presence of salt and vinegar on Hearst's list tips the balance. Even with the crunching, munch, munch, munch. And here we go, Hearst. Meg98, is that motherfucker actually eating in my ear? I'm voting for Squirrel for the next 5 episodes. Anonymous, are you kidding me? This is a podcast. Stop eating. Don't you do it. I see you. I can see her saying food in his mouth, Rackers. What a tosser. The problem is, you got 6 votes.
Oh, shit.
And I got 30 with a promise of 8 more from people this week.
Now,
many, many comments about you eating in people's ears. Oh,
you may not like the crunching and the chewing, but you need to look beyond that. This is important work we're doing. This is the official world rankings, and choosing what's best based on your own little quirks.
Did you just describe misophonia as a little quirk?
Yeah.
Okay, get down. Thank you, Laura. All right. The official 6. Top 5. Sorry? 6. All right, the top 5 snacks to have with beer officially are dry roasted peanuts, Burton's fish and chips, the ones not fish and chips, those little crisp things. At number 3, Piper's Great Berwick Longhorn Beef Crisps. At number 2, Smith's Bacon Fries.
Bacon flavoured fries.
Yes, correct. Bacon, the word flavour in small letters between bacon and fries. And at number 1, Midland Snacks Traditional Pork Scratchings are the top 5 snacks to have in a pub. Thank you very much, Rankers. All right, it's been a while. Frankly, I'm not sure what we do now, but I'm pretty sure that's everything. So we play a bit of music and get to ranking, right, Hurst?
Yeah. Before we dive into that, we should probably outline the parameters of what a big man action movie is.
Yes, indeed. There was debate about this, Hurst, not just for me and you as well. Other people got involved trying to work out what a big man action movie is, and I'm still not sure we've actually nailed it down.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there'll be a case to potentially be argued, but it's almost a feel. So I was watching RoboCop, which is one of my absolute favourite films, and
good film.
It's got a male main lead, and RoboCop's massive, but yet somehow it's not a big man action movie.
And I agree with you, it's just not.
I don't know what it is,
but it isn't. Yes,
exactly.
Correct.
So it's an interesting challenge, this one. So yes. I think we've largely gone on what feels right.
Yes, we did have one stipulation that it couldn't be big men or more than one big person running the action movie. So, for example, The Expendables feels like an obvious one to talk about because they are very much playing up to that. But too many big men are in The Expendables. So
indeed, that's what we've done. But how are we going to decide who goes first this week?
I'm just checking that it's still where it normally is. And it is. We are going to flip the coin of destiny, Hurst.
Outstanding.
Well, hang on. How do I know which side means which?
Heads for Hurst. Squirrels have tails.
Get in the air, coin. No one landed on my leg, but it is heads for Hurst. No, I've dropped the coin of decision again.
I need to drop it again, Hurst. But you've already called heads.
I did call heads because it was heads. I dropped it when I tried to put it back where it goes. There we are. Heads, Hurst. Off you
go. Excellent. Right. So fifth place for me has been right up to The Wire, flipping and flopping between two movies, similar movies 10 years apart. But I went for the later one, the 1994 film of True Lies, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger with Jamie Lee Curtis as well. It was between that and Commando. I know it's a bit of a spoiler, but I did need to give Commando a shout out. In spite of it being, as a message to you, objectively absolutely terrible, I fucking love Commando. And it's just got so many great things like, let off some steam, Bennett.
Let
off some steam, Bennett.
There's going to be a lot of bad Arnie impressions, I would imagine, across this.
Oh, there really is. Yeah, sorry, everybody.
But it was fantastic, but ultimately I missed out to True Lies. It's 2 hours 21, so quite long for an action movie, but it is action-packed. The opening sequence is basically Big Man Bond. Absolutely brilliant start. There's a scene where he's chasing a motorbike on a horse through the city, then through a hotel and into a lift onto the roof.
Yes.
Doesn't quite make the jump over, but...
Say something, Henry. That's a fine animal.
Absolutely outstanding. There's some absolutely brilliant bits, very much of the 90s, where Jamie Lee Curtis is absolutely helpless and drops an Uzi and manages to kill about 10 people as it just cartwheels down the stairs. I couldn't have her shooting them.
No.
But it is good comedy value. And shortly after that, you've got some amazing slow-mo running away from a bazooka and then diving into the water and swimming under the fire, hanging out of a helicopter, rescuing his woman from a moving car.
Oh, yeah.
Happens to just borrow a Harrier jump jet to rescue his daughter from the clutches of the bad guy, shoots up an entire floor of a multi-story skyscraper, as opposed to the single-story skyscrapers.
Yes, they tend to scrape it a little bit less.
And then... finally just catches the ultimate bad guy, the sand spider, on the end of a missile, says, you're fired.
You're fired.
And shoots the missile into a helicopter, blowing up him and the other bag. It is just sensational action and has a brilliant cameo from Bill Paxman as Simon, the used car salesman.
Simon, the used car salesman, yes.
Pretending to be a spy to try and woo Arnie's wife. And it's hilarious. It's funny. It's full of action. It's ridiculous. But just brilliant. So I've done a bit this week called Best Quotes.
Ooh, okay.
Best quotes from this one. They call him the sand spider. Why? Probably because it sounds scary. Genius. And one of the many action movies that mentions a different franchise, I Married Rambo. But yeah.
There we go.
Brilliant. So True Lies, 1994. Arnie, Jamie Lee Curtis. That's my number five.
Excellent shout. My number five is also Arnie. I think he's going to come up a fair bit on as this list from both of us. I went with Predator. Now, before you jump down my neck, I'm well aware that Predator starts with several big men, including wrestler Jesse Ventura in his first feature film, I believe. But they die off, spoilers, real quick. And then it's just Arnie versus a fucking alien, right? So I'm having it. I don't care what you say.
I'm absolutely with you. He is a clear male lead, and he's Arnie.
Yes.
And he fires a lot of guns.
And he does. Yes, Arnie plays Dutch. He is special forces. It's a bit indistinct. He gets to run around shooting automatic rifles from the hip because only losers put them in their shoulders. And he fights an alien who they find in the jungle. It's Predator. You know what Predator is. Everyone knows what Predator is. Predator's a goddamn great film. Get to the chopper. That's all you need to know about Predator. Get to the chopper. So good.
Get to the chopper!
Originally, interestingly, maybe, the Predator was going to be played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, another big man action guy, but he got fired. Some people say he wasn't really tall enough. Some people say he complained too much. Who knows? Only he knows, and the director knows. The director is John McTiernan, of course, who nearly directed Commando, but didn't. So lots of incest going
That's
on.
That's a lot of nearly happening in that.
A lot of nearly. Kevin Peter Hall ended up playing the Predator. Very, very tall dancer, I believe, by trade. Yeah, it's great. You've seen a bit of it if you're on the internet, because it's where the meme of the two massive hands doing the what do you call it when you shake hands but with a bent elbow? I don't know what that is.
The mid-air handshake arm wrestle.
Bro slap. All right, mid-air
which
handshake.
We'll discuss further shortly.
All right, okay, well, if we're going to discuss it further shortly, I will shut the hell up. Number five for me, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator.
Number four for me is Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. 1987, an hour and 47 minutes. Absolute sweet spot for an action movie.
Oh, I forgot to tell you something. Sorry, Hurst. Sorry. This week you're doing quotes. Excellent. I'm doing body count. Do you want to have a guess at how many people were killed in Predator, including the Predator?
Smashed out whole army nest. I'm going to say 47.
64.
Oh, yeah, nice. Good. I like a good body count. I considered that myself, so I'm glad that we went separate ways on this one.
Yes.
Yeah, so all the things you said about Predator are absolutely manful from start to finish. The first thing I wrote down was the big muscles handshake between Dylan and Dutch, which is...
There you go.
It's like they're doing a mid-air arm wrestle, and then it does turn into an arm wrestle, and all it is an excuse to see how massive their biceps are.
Yes.
And just show how full of testosterone they both are. That's a hard word to say, isn't it? It's brilliant. Perhaps my favourite character is Blaine, who's massively... inappropriate, played by Jesse Ventura. He chews tobacco and is just so stereotypical tough guy southern from the time. Lots of fire, explosive death, lots of somersaulting flying death all through it. Mini guns, grenade launchers. There's a scene where they all just blast guns into the jungle for about a minute when Max sees the Predator. Like, no thoughts of preserving ammunition. Just blast
trees.
Everything in there. And they did, ultimately, after firing about 20,000 rounds, make him bleed a little bit. So, you know, we could chalk that one down as a win. But yeah, best lines, most of them. I mean, Arnie and his get to the chopper and you're one ugly motherfucker. Also, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Sounds sage advice.
Classic Predator. After Arnie skewers a dude to a wall with a massive machete, he says, stick around, which is aces. And of course, get to the chopper, you're one ugly motherfucker. But actually, some of my favorite lines came from Blaine with, son of a bitch digging in like an Alabama tick. Brilliant.
Son of a bitch is dug in like an Alabama tick.
And someone says, Blaine, you're bleeding. I ain't got time to bleed.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Just so masculine. He does obviously use some fairly inappropriate language these days, calling them slack-jawed f***s for not chewing tobacco and...
I might have to pull out the bleep gun.
And the dude who keeps on making inappropriate jokes about how massive his wife's pussy is. So I'm not really
sure. Shane Black. That's the guy that wrote Lethal Weapon and
really?
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And yeah, that's him. And Iron Man.
Yeah, so it's got some outdated humor and some outdated views. But ultimately, it is just a tremendous film. Really good Predator.
Really is. Excellent. So my number four actually starred a guy called Arnold Schwarzenegger in a little movie. One of his smaller roles, less popular, but I still liked it. A film that was called Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Obviously, I guess Terminator 2 is another James Cameron film after Hurst mentioned True Lies earlier. It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, it's so good. It's less funny than some of the other big man action movies. That's not to say that it doesn't have any jokes in it at all. Arnie learning how to try and be hit from little John Connor is quite amusing. There are some jokes, but it's more action focused. It's more leaning toward the thriller side of things than action comedy. And it's freaking great. It's just freaking great. I don't need to tell anyone about the Terminator. The Terminator is a robot from the future sent back in time to kill first Sarah Connor in the first movie, and then John Connor, her son, in the second movie. She doesn't want that to happen. So between movies, she got absolutely jacked. And it's a good job we didn't put any stipulations about there not being allowed any big ladies alongside the big men, because very much so, Linda Hamilton got absolutely torn for this movie, and it was incredible. Her and the Terminator try to protect John Connor from a different Terminator sent from the future, who was played by Robert Patrick, who is the old FBI man in any TV show you watch nowadays.
And the latest Reacher. No, the second Reacher series as well, wasn't he? Even
yes.
Sarah Connor, never heard of her. Just a great
never kind of her. He makes a joke, doesn't he?
Does yes. make a joke.
But yes, liquid Terminator made of liquid metal, the T-1000. Very scary. He's certainly not a big man, but you can tell he has advanced technology that Arnie can't quite handle, and some amazing special effects.
Yeah, and I love that about his character, that he's a smaller, but he's a harder Terminator because he's yes. next level. So they've diminished size for weaponry and just technology, and it's great. He's a brilliant villain.
Yes. I don't need to tell you much about Terminator 2 because you've seen Terminator 2 and you think Terminator 2 is brilliant. What do you think the body count in Terminator 2 is, Hass?
Oof. No, there's a lot of people around.
There is, but bear in mind that Arnie wasn't allowed to kill anyone because John Connor, the idiot, told him he wasn't allowed to do his goddamn job.
Yeah, that was a bit limiting for him.
He's not called the Hurtinator, is he?
I'll go with 45.
All right, too high, Hurst. 23 if you include the two Terminators.
Otherwise, yes, it's 21 which we must, humans. I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, no, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So we're down to number three.
We are number three, Hurst.
So I've gone on a bit of a tangent here. I had to check if this really did qualify as a big man action movie, and it has come back as sci-fi action. It has got a strong male lead in Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's called Terminator 2.
No, it's not.
You're going before me every time, but I'm before you because I threw in True Lies. But we're five for five on Schwarzenegger. Mm. Yes, Terminator 2, 1991, 2 hours, 10 minutes of just fantastic special effects, amazing explosions, and just quality filmmaking. As you said, this one wasn't a funny one. This was the first one that was, actually, no, Predator was not funny on purpose.
Well, that's probably true. If the first Terminator was a bit more horror-like, this one is certainly
had more action going on. Yeah, much more thriller on the first one. Mm. And a brilliant film in its own right. But T2 then actually took it to a much better level. As he said, Robert Patrick as the T-1000 was so intimidating. He actually learned to run breathing through his nose.
Because he didn't open his mouth, right?
Yeah, because Terminators don't need to breathe. And that in itself is just brilliant commitment, but eerie.
Yeah.
Watching someone running, staring, not
full tilt.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
With the hands like chomping away. And he was, for a man who was so much smaller than Arnie, so scary. Mm. Yeah, the whole thing was great. I mean, all you really need to know is he stands on like the fourth story of an office window shooting a minigun and a grenade launcher at a bunch of police cars, managing to not kill anyone. So the skill as well as just the raw, muscular minigun holding Arnie it was just great from start to finish. I think you've said everything we need to know about it. My best lines for it, I mean, there's quite a lot. The best lines are, "I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle." Just straight away.
Classic.
Walks butt naked into a bar, tells a bunch of hard bikers that he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to need all your stuff," and then takes them all out.
Mm, that's the first thing he says in the first film as well, of course, because that's Terminator MO, basically.
Yeah. He also, when he's learning to be called the Hasta La Vista Baby, which he uses when annihilates T-1000 into thousands of pieces, which then mold back together again because it gets warm. When John Connor's realised that he has to do whatever he says, and he calls the two jocks come over, and he's like, "Now who's the dipshit jock douchebag?" I was like, "Did you call moi a dipshit?" And then the classic line, "Come with me if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to live."
When they pick up Sarah, "I know now why you cry." At the end, as he's
act, Arnie, act.
Yeah, brilliant. But also the physical acting. So when he tries to smile,
yeah, it's so good.
Is incredible acting. Like, it's perfect, absolutely perfect. And when Sarah kind of runs out of ammo and he T-1000 wags his finger. Just another brilliant piece of, I don't know if it was directing or if it was spontaneous, but it was perfect. And then the big thumbs up as he gets lowered into the lava at the end. It's, I counted them as lines just because they're as good as any line that's been in any film, to be honest. So yeah, for me, number three, T2, 1991.
My number three is legitimately not Arnie this time. It is, here we go, come at me, Jason Statham. I've decided that Jason Statham counts. He's perhaps not especially tall. I think we looked it up, he's 6 foot dead or maybe 5'11", isn't he?
I don't know, but we discussed it at the weekend and friends of the show, Jazzy and Jones, agreed that he was, so I'm happy to go with it.
I was going to do it anyway, frankly, because Jason Statham was in a film called Crank that was just so good. It needs to be talked about. Crank is a film about Chev Chelios, who is a hitman for hire, but he gets injected with that Chinese shit, that's all it's called, throughout the entire movie, a kind of poison that is going to kill him unless he keeps his heart rate up. And he keeps his heart rate up by basically being in fights and driving his car too fast, or banging his girlfriend in public. Oh my God, Craig is hilarious. Statham just walks around doing fighting and hurting bad people for, ooh, I don't know. Hearst does like to know how long movies are.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, 90 minutes. And it's just superb. To call it action, it has to be action-packed, because the whole point of the movie is, if he slows down, he dies. So he can't. Throughout the entire film, he is hurting people and being very British. It's just excellent. Crank is properly hilarious. He is driving his car up an escalator in a shopping center, whilst trying to phone his girlfriend. She doesn't answer. He's like, honey, get a cell phone. He's just so goddamn good. And Statham is an interesting one. He's basically all he does nowadays is action films. He started off, obviously, hanging about with Guy Ritchie in Snatch, which is top five quotable movies, let us know, Patreons, but that's going to be right up there.
Lock Stock first, wasn't it? Lock Stock, then
yes,
Snatch.
Was he in Lock Stock as well? Them. He was, yes. Yeah, yeah. He was in a film called The One with Jet Li, and he saw Jet Li doing all the fighting and thought, ooh, I could have a crack at that. So he asked to have a bit of a try, and that's where he kind of started off from, and he learned how to do pretend kicking and punching. And this is all he does now. He is our bald action hero, and we do love him. Oh, we love him, Statham. So good. Number three, Crank. How many people do you think die in Crank, Hurst?
Now, I don't know, because I didn't get through it.
What the
I can see why dick? You might. It insisted upon itself.
Oh, shut the piss up. It's hilarious and great, and you're an idiot.
75.
No, far fewer than that, Hurst. 29. One of those was in his imagination, so it's actually 28. And it does include Chelios, who... spoiler, kind of dies at the end. But then for Crank 2, the tagline was just, he got better.
Yeah. I think it was always going to be one of those. From what I watched, we watched about 15 minutes of it last night after I got back, and I wasn't feeling it. Maybe it's because I was tired and hungover as well. Maybe I didn't give it a fair shot. But it just seemed to be trying to be really stylized. It wasn't a Guy Ritchie film, was it?
No, it was directed by Mark Neville Dean and Brian Taylor from... Queen?
Yeah, no. It felt like it was trying to be Guy Ritchie, but also trying to be Commando. And I don't think either of them worked for me. But, you know, the rankers will have to decide.
Yeah, rankers.
If they say that it's top three, then who am I to argue? So we are down to number two. Number two for me, 1988, Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard.
He'd done it. He'd done the thing.
2 hours, 12 minutes of... excellence. Bruce Willis as John McClane, a cop who gets caught in a big skyscraper takeover where his wife is part of a bunch of hostages. The brilliant Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber, the leader of the bad guys, just is a perfect foil to action New York cop in LA storming the building and, well, stuck in the building and then just basically taking out one bad guy after another. Just, it's brilliant. Within it, he mentions Rambo, he mentions Arnie, so there's a lot of references to great action movies. They have almost Indiana Jones quality punch and kick sound effects throughout, which I feel has been phased out of movies for realism. And I yes. don't think we need that. I think great punch and kick sound effects were fantastic and they need to bring that back again. I love at the end when they have a weird laughing circle, which is how he ultimately takes out Hans Gruber with his hidden gun by starting to laugh, and then everyone starts to laugh and then he kills him. I don't really know what happened, but it was brilliant. I love how there were barrow bombs falling from the sky at the end. Like, just millions and millions of pounds of barrow bombs falling from the sky and no one seemed to care. I was like, all right. If that had been $10 notes, like, people would have been jumping around. Just a fantastic film. Best quotes from Alan Rickman as one of his guys comes down dead with a note attached to him saying, "Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho."
Now I have a machine gun. Ho.
Outstanding stuff. And when he is on the radio to the cop saying, "You need to get to the Nakatomi Plaza," and she says, "This is a secured line for emergencies only," and he goes, "No fucking shit, lady. Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?"
"Attention, whoever you are, this channel is reserved for emergency calls only."
"No fucking shit, lady. Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?"
Of course, the classic "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker," yep. an ad-lib line. "Let's see you take this under advisement, jerkweed." And of course, my favorite line of all of them is, "I'm not the one that just got butt-fucked on national TV, Dwayne." The emphasis on Dwayne makes a line. It's just quotable throughout. It's a good length, just over 2 hours. And yeah, Bruce Willis's finest work. Clearly big man action. Lots of guns, lots of explosions. And brilliant. Brilliant villain.
All right. So I specifically didn't choose Die Hard because Willis was portrayed as not a big man throughout. He was just a cop in the wrong place. But, you know, you get to choose if you think this counts as a big man action movie, like I think.
Classic Crank counts. Yeah, I mean, if Jason Statham is, then Bruce Willis is.
All right, well, that's cool. It's an all right film, Die Hard, isn't it? It did okay, I think. What number are we on?
2. You were telling us about how, I can't remember, it's number 2.
Brilliant.
You didn't choose Die Hard.
I didn't choose Die Hard for my number 2. I chose more of an indie piece, actually. It's directed by a guy you may have heard of called James Cameron and starred a great big Austrian dude who learned English and came over to the US to be in films called Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's True Lies, Hurst. You have already talked about True Lies. We've got a lot of crossover on this list. Legitimately, my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, True Lies. I just love it to bits. It's like, obviously we know James Cameron's a great director, but they've taken all the best bits from all the action movies and just mushed them together, and they've done it so well.
They really did.
We've already talked about it, so I'm not going to go on about it for too long, except for to point out that they blew up a real bridge with missiles at the end of the film. Yeah, excellent. They just built a bridge and blew it up because, you know,
it wasn't a working bridge that someone needed.
I think it might have been at the time, and actually it was due for demolition anyway or something like that, but yeah, that's a real bridge across the wherever they were. And the bad guy, the Sand Spider, did you, back in the day when you were a younger man, did you watch Holby City, Hurst?
No.
Well, the bad guy was Zubin the anesthesiologist, so there we go.
There we go.
He's actually British. Well, he was born in Pakistan, but obviously, you know, as a British person who's brown, he gets to be all the like Middle Eastern bad guys in movies, because that's how things work. Elijah Dushku was Dana Tasker, Harry's young daughter. Did a very good job. Well done, Faith. And Juno, the lady on the bad guys team, of course. Tia Carrere.
Her off of Wayne's World.
That's who was in it. Just excellent. Tom Arnold in the van. Tom Arnold played the guy in the van. Albert Gibson, he was so goddamn funny.
He was.
Like, dropping in references to Roseanne when what a bitch takes the ice trays. That apparently is a real thing that happened. Yeah, and as you said, Bill Paxton as Simon, just brilliant. The whole film, very funny, very good. There are even some clever bits. Loved it. Just excellent. How many people do you think die in True Lies, Hurst?
Oh, it's got to be quite a lot, although I do seem to be overestimating an awful lot. I mean, all of the terrace, I don't even know how many there were in the helicopter at the end, so that was another five just bosh like that, shot out a whole floor of terrorists, blew up a gang of terrorists. It's got to be over 50, isn't it? I would say 50.
71, Hurst. Oh. Yeah, they really get crack-a-lack in here. So 71 for True Lies. Just an excellent film if you haven't seen it. Turn your brain off, for God's sake. And there was a TV show remake recently, last year, the year before maybe. Yeah, it was okay. Sadly. But yeah, the film remains brilliant. Number two, True Lies.
Brilliant choice. I love it.
All right, what's the worst, Hurst?
The worst. The worst action movie is The Masters of the Universe, 1987, starring Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely god-awful throughout. I did manage to sit through it, but only because I wanted to have notes to talk about how much I hated it. And Carly sat through it with me, so shout out to Carly for, you know, supporting the show at that deep of a level. The whole thing kicks off with what you can only describe as Timu Superman music and credits. It's such a blatant attempt at a copy, and it's just rubbish. Skeletor is Darth Vader and has black stormtroopers, and he's not even camp. He's just wearing a skeleton mask. It's utter crap.
Despicable.
He-Man has a mullet instead of a bowl cut. His pants aren't furry. The whole film, the idea that Skeletor's taken over Eternia using this key that the Keymaker, who's straight out of Labyrinth, made for him, but he made a spare one, and then Skeletor wants that so no one can take it over. It's all a bit tenuous, and they end up on Earth using the key. The whole thing is just so badly strung together. It took bits from a lot of very popular movies from the times of Superman, Star Wars, Labyrinth, Close Encounters, The Dark Crystal. Mm. It rubbed shit all over them and then cut them into the film. Mm. And that is pretty much the entirety of The Masters of the Universe. I thought I should probably try and get some pros and cons. So the pros, it had James Tolkien, obviously Strickland off of Back to the Future and Hondo off of Top Gun.
Back to the Future. Yep.
So that was good.
He pumped his shotgun so many times that by the time he actually fired it, he'd have been out of rounds. Every time he walked on, that's not how this works.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Love a bit of James Tolkien. And the key itself was actually pretty cool. It was tuneful and it was quite a cool design. So that was the pros. The cons were things like, you know, the costumes, characters, script, acting, story, and special effects. So the whole thing.
I thought the Keymaker, what was he called? Oglo or something? Urkel?
I can't even remember. I've tried to forget as much of it as I can, apart from what I wrote down.
I thought he was quite good. He looked okay, right?
It was with a bunch of people acting straight, and then just this little Jim Henson comic relief puppet thing. I don't know. Just swing and a miss, all of it. The only quote I've written down was "good journey," which was their thing. They wanted to make catch when they were saying goodbye. They go, "good journey."
Gwildor. There you go. In searching for that, I've discovered that there is another Masters of the Universe movie coming out next year.
That looks like it could be quite good. I think, isn't Jared Leto playing Skeletor?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes.
It looks
Idris Elba as Man-at-Arms. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like it's got potential to be good, but after the other one was so shit. I mean, it's got to be better than that, but I'm going to hold judgment a little bit.
Fair enough. My worst is, I feel a little bit unfair. I feel I've seen movies that are worse than this one, but I just kept coming back to Under Siege, which is just not very good. Under Siege is a 92 Steven Seagal film. Maybe his biggest movie, I'm not sure. It wasn't great. Seagal is by this time so full of himself that allegedly he was making requests to script changes to make his character like sound tougher or be cooler, or what he thought was cooler. And it just wasn't. He played Casey Ryback, who was a cook on a battleship. But oh, wouldn't you know it, he just so happened to be a Navy SEAL who gave up. Or something. I don't care. Maybe he was taught. Anyway, I don't care.
He was too hard to be a Navy SEAL anymore.
Yeah, get cooking. Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey are in this film. Both fantastic actors. What are their choices? Were terrible. There was one very good bit in this film. This is where Eric Arnalak jumps out of a birthday cake, yes. And it's like, ha ha, that girl's been in a birthday cake for ages and everyone forgot about it. And it was great because we all laughed so much. That's why yes, I like that bit.
That's why it was good.
Poor, unfortunate, horny Shawnee became the love interest for Steven Seagal, even though she was basically 1,000 years younger than he was at this point.
And 1,000 years hotter.
Yeah, did she? Absolutely. He just strolls around this boat killing people, and there's never any real tension. I think he maybe gets punched once, and it's just fucking shit. And at the end, on the deck, when everyone's cheering and like, "You're the man, Ryback!" And it's just a god cringe. Poor Erica Arnalak has to kiss this idiot, and you can tell. You can clearly see she fucking does not want to. The poor lady. So, yeah.
No, I'm with you. Under Siege is shit, but I also like it.
Because of the cake.
Not just for the cake. Just, right. I think it's kind of to the point. There's just lots of cool Aikido, and being an Aikido man myself, I enjoy that. And as you said, Gary Busey, I was going to say James Earl Jones. Great. Tommy Lee Jones, not James Earl Jones.
It was marketed as Die Hard at Sea.
Yeah, I mean, it's not in the same league as Die Hard, but it was just it was entertaining.
How many people die in Under Siege, Hurst?
Oh, most of them, don't they? Most of the people on that boat who are not helpless Navy people.
We're not including Erica on her ex career.
Yeah, which wasn't really ever massive, as she was good in Baywatch because she was very much suited to Baywatch. Mm. 38.
65.
Oh, shit. That is a lot.
Not a game you're great at, but I think it is a very difficult game. So I think okay.
Not good at this game.
One more chance to redeem yourself. Because here we go. Here they come, Hurst.
Here it comes.
Number one picks. Sound the trumpets.
My number one, for me, the greatest big man action movie of all time is the 1982 classic First Blood, the original Rambo movie. 93 minutes of just excellent filmmaking as well as excellent action. So action movies are rarely both cinematically brilliant as well as entertaining, but this one was. It was good casting, good script, good acting. It was efficient but good quality exposition. So what I really love about Commando, in spite of its nonsense, is the greatness of its exposition. It's like 3 to 4 minutes of watching the bad guy doing bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
3 to 4 minutes of watching the good guy being super twee with his daughter, and then bang, you're into the action. And the exposition on First Blood was brilliant. He's clearly an ex-military professional who was in Vietnam, which was a very controversial war, and even though all of the soldiers were heroes because they were doing their job in horrendous circumstances, they got a lot of grief when they came back. So he was deserted by his country, suffering with PTSD long before it had become well known as that. I guess it would still have been called shell shock around the early 80s, but maybe it's the same thing. And he just wants to get something to eat walking through this town. And he gets picked up by these yokel cops, Teal and Gulp, who both think they're real tough guys looking after their little quiet, sleepy town. But all they are is just bullies, especially Gulp. Watching him get killed is one of my favorite comeuppances from a small part in the film. And they just get the ass kicking of a lifetime. It's just great action. They take him in, they hose him down, they treat him like crap. They try to cut his hair and shave him. He has a flashback. He takes them out without killing anyone and escapes, jumps on a motorbike that he basically clotheslines some kid off.
Yeah.
Rides off into the woods.
And that kid did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong, but, you know, we'll let Rambo off because he was having flashbacks and needed to escape. But ego cops had to chase him into the woods because they didn't like that he'd escaped, and basically started a war with a one-man killing machine who was designed to be guerrilla warfare expert. And they chase him into the fucking woods. Idiots. Anyway, it all just goes on getting worse and worse and escalating. At any point, they could have calmed it down. They could have sorted it out, but it was the egos of the local cops that really made it all go wrong. And ultimately, they had to bring in his old commanding officer. He talks him down. Eventually, they get out and off he goes. He lets them take him off to prison and that, but it could have all been avoided. And it's just brilliant throughout.
Oh, yeah.
So my best quotes, and this one sums up, it's the classic when they first got into the woods and he took a few guys out, but didn't kill them, just wounded them with traps and stuff. And then they went back to regroup and he calls him on the radio and he's saying, I could have killed them all. I could have killed you. In town, you're the law. Out here, it's me. Don't push it. Don't push it or I'll give you a war you won't believe. Let it go. Let it go, which is the inspiration, estimated fact, for the Frozen song, Let It Go.
Ah, excellent. Yes.
Someone was watching that and going, we could make a real song out of that. It's really catchy.
It took them 20 years to write the lyrics and stuff, though. Maybe more like 15.
Next quote, when they bring Trotman in to try and talk Rambo down, Trotman, his commanding officer, said something about, like, how did God make a man like that? And he said, God didn't make Rambo. I did. And then he also says, you don't understand. I didn't come down here to save Rambo from you. I came to save you from him.
Classic.
And it's just a brilliant line because they've got hundreds of cops. And he's like, you're saying with 200 men, I can't take this guy out. And he's like, no, not really. And then at the end, of course, the classic film line of they drew first blood. Ooh. And they did. It's just absolutely brilliant film. It's only 93 minutes long. I could watch it over and over. There's nothing wasted in there. There is no fat on that film. It is excellent.
Or on Stallone. He was ripped.
He was massive.
Quite a lot smaller than he would become, but like mad wiry muscle.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
And you got a fact and an estimated fact for me, Hurst.
I do have both of those things for you. Fact. Stuntman Lee Davis was hired as the stunt double for Rambo, but Stallone insisted on doing all of his own stunts. Davis still got paid, but as a stunt advisor to Stallone.
All right.
Fact. The large piece of rotten canvas that Rambo finds in the woods and cuts into a makeshift coat was not, in fact, a movie prop, but a real piece of rotten canvas that he found.
Now, unfortunately for you, Hess, part of the research for this episode of Top 5 Face-Off, I watched Rambo for the first time. I very much enjoyed it. I don't consider that I've watched the film until I've read the IMDb trivia, and you picked the first one.
That's because I left it to the last minute.
Yes. The bit of rotten canvas, which I believe, if I remember correctly, became a treasured prop item, right? Because probably. They couldn't replace it. So, yes, that is the fact. So I guess the other guy, there were a lot of stuntmen in this film, so that would be an estimated fact. All right. That is a very good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it's not my number one, Hurst. Ooh.
It's not even in your top five, then. Gee.
It is not in my top five, and I apologize.
Well, press on. Tell us what it is.
And my number one is not in your top five. My number one is Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now I know, Rankers, that you were paying attention and you heard me say True Lies was I think the best Arnold Schwarzenegger film. And it is. However, I think Commando is a better big man action movie than True Lies is. And that's coming back to it just being a feeling. True Lies is more of a film. Commando is just Arnie strolling about killing people. For, as her says, the thinnest of... Well, it's not a thin reason, but there was no setup for this at all, besides the fact that here's my daughter, Alyssa Milano. Probably not her name in the film. Jenny, she was called in the film. And Matrix, John Matrix. Cool name. Possibly the coolest name of any of the films we've had, actually, I think. Anyway, she gets kidnapped for reasons. Actually, I'm not even sure we know the reason. And John Matrix has to go and get her back, because of course he does, because he's Arnold Goddamn Schwarzenegger. And he's going to kill everyone in the way. It's that simple. And he does. He really does. It's just utterly ridiculous, and it would also be in my top five quotable movies because it contains so many excellent Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes. Normally after he's killed people, so he kills a guy on a plane and says, don't wake my friend, he's dead tired, when he puts a blanket on to hide him. And he's holding a little guy called Sully over the edge of a cliff in one hand by the leg. And he's like, you remember, Sully, when I promised to kill you last? He's like, that's right, Matrix, you did. He's like, I lied. And he just lets him go. Oh, fucking hell, it's so funny.
Remember, Sully, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Matrix, you did.
I lied.
Oh, I love Commando. It's utterly, utterly ridiculous. It's utterly stupid. It's not a good film, but it's a brilliant big man action movie, and it is my number one. Much like you, Rambo, I could watch Commando and then watch Commando again. It is just ridiculous and superb.
It's 90 minutes, so it is just,
yes,
it slots in so brilliantly.
Well, the first time you see Arnie, of course, they have to establish that he's quite strong, so he's carrying a tree.
Because the massive muscles don't do it. You just need to know that they're not just show muscles.
Yeah, right? They do a slow pan up his body and he's fucking enormous. And when it gets to it, he's carrying a tree on his shoulder like you do. What's he even do with that tree?
Yeah.
So before you get your fact and your estimated fact, how many people do you think John Matrix freaking mows down?
115.
It is a lot. I can see where you go that high because he's just basically constantly killing people. It's not quite that many. It's 81.
That's good, though.
According to the 2007 documentary I watched about it.
The fact that he's running across a lawn with no shelter at all, being shot at by machine guns from maybe 20 guys, none of them hit him.
Yes.
All been to stormtrooper school.
Yes.
And he's just shooting them all. It's just so much joy.
In the same mansion that was used at the end of Beverly Hills Cop, by the way, that building. So there you are. But anyway, that's not your fact. Your fact and your estimated fact are, for the movie, Arnie's stunt double in the movie was Sergio Oliveira. He was a competitive bodybuilder and one of only three people to beat Arnie at a Mr. Universe competition. But he is a black Cuban man, so they had to cover him in white makeup. Or, fact, the bad guy was from a country called Valverde. Valverde has been used as a fictional country in many films, including Predator, Die Hard 2, Deadly Enemies, and I believe The Expendables.
Gosh, I mean, I like that second fact as a fact, and I just think that it would be edgy for you to suggest that a black guy needed to wear white makeup if it wasn't an actual fact. I'm going to go with that.
Playing the man, not the fact.
Playing the man, not the fact.
The actual fact is that the bad guy is a deposed dictator from a country of Valverde. Valverde
no
was
way.
A fictionalized Latin.
Controversial slag.
They couldn't find a stuntman that was like big enough to be Arnie's stuntman, so he did quite a lot of his own stunts. They didn't paint one of his friends white. However, I got the idea because that's exactly what they did, but the other way around for the 80 with Mr. T. Mr. T's stuntman was a white guy in blackface, which you can clearly see sometimes as well. So
wow.
There you go. I kind of flip-reversed that one. So there's our list, rankers. What do you think? You have to decide which one is the official top five Big Man action movie list. Go to top5faceoff.co.uk and vote for your favourite.
Indeed.
What else do we do at the end of one of these, Hurst? It's been a minute.
We spin the wheel, mate.
We spin the wheel. Yes, we tell people that they must vote and then we spin the wheel. What an excellent idea. There you go, Hurst. There's the wheel of decision. Anything on there you like the look of?
I think the Blur Oasis songs would be quite good fun.
Yes. Yes. This one could almost have been Arnie or Stallone movies.
Yeah.
Certainly for me, only one of my films didn't have Schwarzenegger in. TV theme tunes, still waiting on it. Maybe this time, Hurst. Are you ready to find out?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Oh, click. Ooh. Off she goes.
Disney movies.
Oh,
Carly is going to be made up. Absolutely made up.
Disney movies. All right, real quick. What's a Disney movie?
Classic Disney cartoons. Feature film.
All right. So there we are. Next week, assuming Hurst has a house to sit in, animated Disney movies. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you especially to the members of our official supporter hub on Patreon. They are Ross Taylor, Davpaz and Kovach. Kovach somehow paying us $7 a month rather than £5. Don't know how he did that. But thank you to all our Patreons and thank you as well to all of our rankers who vote and leave comments and just listen to us being amazing. You guys are amazing by association.
Yeah, we love you, rankers.
You can find us on Blue Sky, Top 5 Face Off. You can find us on Facebook, Top 5 Face Off. You can email us, hello@top5faceoff.co.uk. Lots of Top 5 Face Off going on there. Please rewind this podcast for the next people to come along, and we will see you next week with Disney movies.
Have a lovely week. We love you.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Face off.
Cool. So there we are, coming next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, assuming that Hearst
has a hearse to sit in.
Potential fraud trying to call me, just like I thought they would. Didn't even interrupt the
speaker.
Recording.
Put it on speaker.
Oh, too late.
Oh, hello, is there a problem with your Windows computer? Oh, well, let's go.
Damn it.
Never mind, next time. All right. That was a very excited, all right, there we go.
So moving into the core of the show, the important bit, the facts, I think we do... Facts?
Do it now.
And just show how testosterone-y? To show how
testosterone-y... That's a type of pasta, isn't it? Testosterone-y.
I thought it was a car. Ferrari, isn't it? Ferrari testosterone-y.
Hit me up. Hearst, what about you? See you at the end of the episode, everyone.